Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank you so much for your presence today. We thank you, Lord, that you've gathered us here today. And Lord, we open up our hearts to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And we thank you, Lord, for teaching us today, for imparting revelation and wisdom to us today regarding your plan for finances. In Jesus' name, amen. So for the next 2 weeks, I will be sharing and we'll be studying together God's pattern for wealth creation. And there are a few scriptures as I get started that aren't in your bulletin. And if you need a outline of the message, raise your hand and someone will give you a bulletin. It's in the bulletin, as well as all of our upcoming events. 1 Timothy 6:10 says this, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And we find that as the scripture deals with the money issue, the financial issue, it deals with it from a heart issue perspective. Because when we love something more than we love God, and we're putting money before God, then it becomes an idol to us and a god to us. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're just going to get God's perspective on finances. And Apostle Leon said last week when he was here, is that up there? Apostle Leon shared, and he might not have said it, but it was in my notes that he sent to me. There is a great wealth that God wants to release to his church, but we are going to have to deal with our mess by giving our very best, by passing the test, and God will give us his rest by releasing his very best. Now, does that sound like our Apostle Leon? But the main focus is God wants to release great wealth to his church, and each one of you are a member of God's church, and he wants to release wealth to us, but first we have to deal with our mess. And I think we all know how quickly and how easily finances can get into a big mess. Can somebody say amen? It just kind of gets away from us. And God has a plan. I checked on the web this morning just to get an idea of where most Americans are at. And it said the total cost of living has increased by 29% since 2003, whereas income has grown only 26% in that time. While 3% doesn't seem like a significant difference, this gap becomes much more significant for Americans that have acute or chronic health problems or live in a city which has a high cost of living or are attending college. It makes perfect sense then that debt has increased during this time. The cost of living has simply outpaced our income. And after adjusting for inflation, household debt has grown 15% faster than household income since 2003. This is a concerning spread that it has improved significantly from where it was in 2009 during the recession when the difference was a whopping 42%. So we all lived through 2008, 2009, didn't we? And then I heard this morning on the news that the Affordable Care Act reports this morning that 25 states are raising premium rates, and Arizona was at the top of the list with insurance premiums going up over 60%. So what was supposed to be an affordable health care plan has skyrocketed, and many of the insurance companies have gone bankrupt that supported it, and they're pulling out. They're not staying in any longer. So in spite of the inflation rate, because the Federal Reserve continues to print money, that we do not have any gold to back. And it's interesting, it's called the Federal Reserve when it has nothing to do with federal. And there are no reserves. So I'm not sure where they came up with the name. But they are determining by the amount of money that they print, the fiat money, that our dollar, I don't know from what date to what date, but I think at one time when we had gold reserves, our dollar was worth 96 cents. And right now, our dollar is worth 4 cents. There's nothing to back it. It's just paper. And so God wants us to get an understanding of finances. Because God has an economic system that if we will tap into God's pattern for the creation of wealth, God will fulfill his word in us. His economy is not based upon this earth's economy. And all the nations are struggling because they're all printing money. And at some point in time, this is going to collapse. It can't stand forever because the money is not worth anything. It's just worth what they are determining. They're printing it and we're spending it. And they're taking it as taxes. I heard a financial consultant share this last week that the amount of money that they take from us for taxes is the money that is used to pay the interest on all of the trillions of dollars that the United States is in debt. So we wonder why our infrastructure is so bad. It's probably because our money is going to pay on the interest of the debt rather than being reinvested back into our country because we are so far in debt. So anyway, I'm glad that I'm operating in kingdom principles. Amen? Because if we apply these to our life, it will work. Tell somebody next to you, it will work. Deuteronomy 8:18 through 19 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as if it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish." So we are being told in the book of Deuteronomy that we are to remember the Lord our God first, because it's him that gives us power to get wealth. It is God who gives us abilities to get wealth. God's blueprint is on the inside of every one of us. And God wants to be creative through each one of us to create wealth. And so the process of following God's pattern is remembering God, number one, and figuring out what are the abilities that you've given me, God? What is my purpose in life? What have you called me to do? What is my passion? Sometimes we work another job to fulfill our passion, but at some point in time, it's really wonderful to be able to do what you love to do and get paid for it. And a lot of people don't even think that way because we're just mind programmed to think, well, I got to go to work and I got to do this job and this is all I'm ever going to be and this is all I probably could ever do because I don't have a college education. I'm never going to make it. But God said, but God, he gives us the ability to make wealth, so that we can establish his covenant here in the earth. And wealth to one person is a little bit different probably than wealth to another person. And we know the parable of the talents, when one was given five talents, one was given one talent. Right? Do you know that parable? And the one didn't do anything with his talent. He just buried it in the earth. because he was afraid of his master. And so when the master returned, he took what the guy with only one had and gave it to the guy that had five already, who had multiplied his. Because he was doing something with what God gave him to do. And I believe that's what God is talking to us about this morning, is tapping in to the abilities that God has given us. And when we do that, he releases the power of the Holy Spirit. He begins to release divine connections for us. Let's go on. The scripture describes the impact of blessings upon those who serve and obey God. And I noticed that God's blessing would impact them in more than one way and in more than one area. The blessing of the Lord would impact their lives in multiple directions. And the first life we're going to take a look at is Job's life. So we're going to read Job 1:1-3. This isn't in your outline, so you might want to add it. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. So we notice that Job doesn't have a few sheep or a few camels or a couple oxen or 3 donkeys. Job. We're talking about jobs, right? Job feared God and shunned evil, and he was blessed with thousands of sheep and thousands of camels, 500 oxen and hundreds of she-donkeys and a great number of servants. So Job had employees who he managed. And those employees managed all of his crops and his animals. That's a lot to take care of, right? You can't do that alone. And Job had a wife and 10 kids. And he sure didn't need all of those animals to clothe and feed his family. So Job owned thousands and thousands of various types of animals, and not to mention all of his employees. So we realize that Job did not need all of this for himself and for his family. The fact is, the blessing of God in his life manifested through multiple streams of income and resources that Job oversaw. This caused him to become a man of tremendous wealth. So let's just take a look at it a little closer. The sheep provided a continual source of wool, which was and still is a valuable commodity in our day. Camels were long-distance carriers of heavy loads. They could travel long distances without tiring. So they could be compared to like our 18-wheeler trucks, Terry, that carry all kinds of goods and produce along the interstates of America today. The oxen were used as land and material moving equipment. They would be like the tillers and the tractors and the backhoes and the dump trucks that we use today. Just trying to take Job's life and put it into a modern perspective. Donkeys were short distance carriers of various kinds. And in America, we might compare that to the U-Haul trailers you rent, or the Ryder trucks that you rent to transport your furniture and other kinds of items. Donkeys carried smaller loads. So when we look at Job's wealth from a modern perspective, we see that Job owned a large wool manufacturing business. He owned a large long-distance trucking company, a heavy machinery equipment company, and a short-distance small truck rental company. No wonder he was the greatest of all men of the East. So when we examine the entire body of the scripture, it's apparent that multiple streams of income and resources is God's idea. And if you remember, Job lost everything, And God allowed that. But yet Job never cursed God. In the midst of losing everything, he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. But when we look at that and read through that story, Job came out on the other side of being afflicted by the devil. And the Lord not only restored his multiple streams of resources, the scripture says he doubled them. He doubled multiple streams of income to Job. Because Job remembered the Lord in all of his business dealings. He remembered the Lord when he was afflicted, when he was suffering. He remembered God. God's nature is to be creative and inventive. Pastor Leonard is very inventive. Apostle Leon was amazed at all of his inventions that he has out in his workshop. If we need something and he can't find it, he'll make it. He just invented a way to carry his fishing poles with one finger. It's a carrier that holds four poles, right? Because him and Jay have been going fishing, you know, and they're hauling all this equipment with them. And he's like, yeah, I'm taking care of this. And he invented this thing. And honestly, he can just hold four poles with one finger. And then you can pick up your bait and carry whatever else you need. You've got free hands instead of trying to juggle four poles. Apostle Leon was just amazed. He goes, I want one of those. I think you already have it made, don't you? Yeah, he made four of them for him. He wanted four. But God will give us creative ideas. You know, every time Apostle Leon sees something that he's invented, he's always saying, you need to patent that. You need to patent that. You need to patent that. Can somebody say amen? He needs to patent that. So God is creative. He's on the inside of us. And God is inventive. And we're his children, created in his image. And we are told to imitate him. And we carry his DNA. So there are inventions on the inside of us. There is creative ideas on the inside of us that should impact our finances. You know, often people will think that someone becomes wealthy or has a big company because they got lucky. It's not about being lucky. It is about following principles. It is about doing every day what you need to do. I heard a speaker share that you're not going to have a money wad unless you're a tight wad. So if you want a wad, you got to be a tight wad. We got to know where our money is going. We need to know how it's being spent. So many people do not know where their money goes. And it always feels like there's not enough. But there are principles in the Word, if we keep track of and do every day, we'll come up out of our mess. Because America is in a financial mess. And so are the people. I think it's a spirit that just has come over America. What difference does it make? We heard somebody say that, didn't we? What difference does it make? Just go ahead and spend the money. Everybody else is spending the money. Let's keep up with the Joneses. I need this. I want that. And so we have plastic. That's not too much different than printing money. Except for we have to pay our plastic back. Right? They'll come knocking on our door. And by the way, if you try to print money in your garage, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Only the Federal Reserve can do that. Which has nothing to do with federal, and there are no reserves. Just get that point. Financial messes cause a lot of grief in families and a lot of turmoil with couples. And so I encourage you, work together as a team, if you're not already, to establish how finances are handled that's coming into the house. Amen? So as believers, with the image of God on the inside of us, I believe that we have the potential to produce much more than we're producing currently, including our finances. Lance Wallno said this. How many of you know Lance Wallno? He is an excellent leader. He comes to CI usually once a year. But this is what he said. When you step into alignment with your God-given purpose, the universe itself conspires to create a pathway for your future that is not just random or being self-created, but it is unfolding because it is God-ordained. Now, I'm going to read that again. That needs to sink in. When you step into alignment with your God-given purpose, the universe itself conspires to create a pathway for your future that is not just random or being self-created, but it is unfolding because it is God-ordained. When we come into alignment with our God-given purpose, everything in our life begins to align itself for our God-given purpose to be fulfilled. God created each one of us for a reason. We are here to solve problems. We are here to be servants. We are here to make God famous, to make Jesus famous, because God, along with our purpose, will give us wisdom beyond our natural ability to fulfill it. God never asked us to do something that He would not sacrifice for us to be able to fulfill. You see, there's potential on the inside of you. Pastor Lisa just wrote a book on fulfilling your potential. Excellent book. It's out at the bookstore. And she is a woman of purpose. And she gives logical steps that you can do every day. Tell someone it's every day. You don't get a day off. Tell them you don't get a day off. We'll just do what we want today. Isn't that our human nature? Oh, I'll just do what I want today. But then you pay for it down the road. Because you spent your whole allowance. Do you ever have children do that? You give them an allowance and it's gone. By the end of the week, you're out somewhere and they want more money to get something. But the book is at the bookstore, Fulfilling Your Potential, and I think it's only $7. Excellent. It can be the very turnaround that you need to get on the path that God has for you. I mean, when you listen to this, what Lance said, don't you just want to get into alignment with your God-given purpose? And I know many of you have been walking in your God-given purpose, and you see the benefits of that. Because God connects you. He connects you with the people that you need, because everything in the universe begins to unfold before you by God. And our responsibility is to take advantage of the connections that God gives us. You're not going to get wealthy without connections. Because God intended us to connect together. And so God sets that up. As believers, we have the potential to produce much more than we currently do in any area, including our finances. And there is a future seeking to become manifested in your life. Your future wants to become manifested in your life. What are you willing to do about that? If you're happy with the way things are going in your life and you feel like you're on your God-given path, then praise God. Let the blessing of God continue to reach you. And that doesn't exempt you from your future being manifested in your life. But some of you have felt stagnant in your life. And God wants to give you hope today and a future. The universe is knocking on your door about a problem you are called to solve. It's interesting as you read about successful people. Steve Jobs had a passion to write calligraphy. That was his passion at the very beginning. He loved calligraphy. And he thought, what if I invented a program for the computer, some software, so a computer could write calligraphy? And his computer program, I believe, was called Fonts de Leon. And him and another guy, I think, developed it in a garage somewhere. Think about that. That was the beginning of Apple. And I think at one time, at the very beginning, he had connected with Bill Gates, with Microsoft. And then God gave Steve Jobs this idea about putting music on one device. And that's when he began to pursue creating the iPod. How many's used iPods? Do people still use iPods? And that was the beginning of the Apple company. He was following his passion, and everything began to unfold in front of him. And God will do the same for us. Two pathways, pain or passion. Often it is out of the things that really pain us that we begin to look for a solution. When you're in the middle of a mess, you're looking for a way out, is that right? I always look for a way out of my mess. And pray, Lord, help me out of this. Even if you got yourself into it, God doesn't stand there and condemn you and say, oh, you got yourself into this old mess, so you're just going to suffer there for a while, and I'm not even going to pay any attention to you. He doesn't act like us. He doesn't think like us. When we cry out to him, he's there. He's there. And he's ready to help us. Now, getting out of a mess is not always easy, is it? And that is painful. But often it is through the pain that you experience that you begin to look for a solution that also helps other people get out of that same mess that they're in. Because that's the way God created us. We're not all like Steve Jobs or Bill Gates. But there is something, some potential on the inside of us that God wants to stir up. Pursue your passion and it will take you to the connections. When you pursue after your passion, God will take you to connections. Remember, the universe begins to unfold. And you're not stuck. Tell your neighbor, you're not stuck. God can give you multiple streams of income. Business ideas. Most of the time, we don't accomplish those things because it really does take discipline, doesn't it? It takes discipline every day. That we easily get sidetracked from. Does anybody in here ever get sidetracked? It's like your intentions were so good that day. But this happened, that happened, somebody else needed you, and you just get pulled away from the very thing that you'd plan to do that day. Give us wisdom, Lord. We don't want to be a selfish person. But if you don't take care of you, then your purpose will never be fulfilled. And when you stand before God, you're responsible for you. So I know God has been speaking to some of your hearts about businesses, opportunities, multiple streams of income. Keep seeking Him. God wants to make His church wealthy. We are in a royal family. People often criticize Donald Trump because of the way he lives in royalty. I see a lot of articles about it. But I'm not going to criticize something, because usually when you criticize, you'll never have it. You just blocked your flow.
That's right.
And I love what Apostle Ron Rayon said when it comes to money. There is always more where that came from.
That's right.
So many of us, because of the way we were raised, we have ungodly beliefs about money. One of them is because as a parent and a child, you'll hear them. Your parents say, well, we can't afford that. We'll never be able to do that. Well, you can't have that. Last year, our musical drama, I don't know where Aaron is, but money doesn't grow on trees, if you remember. We have all of these negative mindsets in our head. I challenge you, think about some of your core beliefs about money. Thinking that you'll always be poor. You'll always live in lack. You'll always be in debt. Anything that has always in it, be careful of. Be careful. But ask God about those beliefs that you have that were formed as you were growing up. Some children are taught to manage money, some are not. Some are taught to save, some are not. But I believe God's plan would have you saving something. Am I stepping on toes? It's usually, I don't have any money to save. Yeah? I could say that. So then you just don't buy your Starbucks that day. Leonard and I both worked and we took our lunch every day. Oh, it's so much easier to eat out. But it costs so much money, and it costs you your health too. God has a plan. And you can get there. Tell your neighbor you can get there. You don't have to stay the same. There is potential on the inside of you. And you can get there if you're willing to make some sacrifices. I know when we were at home and raising the children, Leonard had a certain amount of money taken out of his check every week. And it was like we just didn't have that money, you know. It went into a savings account and we didn't even think about that money. And if we did think about it, I thought about it, I got in trouble. Because my husband is a tight wad, that's why he has a wad, okay? That's just the truth. So many financial principles we must learn. And here we are adults and we don't know them. And they're certainly not teaching our kids in school about money. They don't teach the history of money. They don't teach us, they don't teach in school what's really going on. Economics today is not the economics I was taught. And so there's big gaps missing. So as the people of God, God wants us to demonstrate biblical principles regarding our finances because he wants to bring wealth into the church and he has given us the ability to make wealth. It's not going to fall out of the sky, osmosis. No one is going to wave a wand over you and suddenly you're going to be different. One trip to the altar is not going to do it. Every day we get to the Lord. Every day. Some days we may do better than other days, but let's at least try. And seek God about those business ideas. I'd love to hear your business ideas. What God is stirring on the inside of you. Because many of you are called to own your own businesses. Some of you do own your own businesses, and praise God for that. But without God's favor on that business and his divine connections in that business, then the business is not going to thrive and grow. God has a plan for wealth creation. Let's take a look at Abraham in Genesis 24:34. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and donkeys. Now this is talking about Abraham, and most of us, what we know about Abraham is that he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, right? Isn't that the story you hear the most about Abraham? He was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. Isn't that the highlight that we almost hear every time we hear Abraham talked about? But you know, Abraham lived, I think, over 100 years. So there was a whole lot more to Abraham than him remembering the Lord first and being willing to sacrifice his son. It was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was a multi-generational business entrepreneurs who ran businesses. Did you hear? He had flocks and he had herds and he had silver and gold. He was probably the bank of the day. Come on. And his sons helped him and followed in his footsteps. They were the founding fathers of the nation. We are heirs of Abraham's blessings, which means we are also an heir of multiple streams of income and the ability to make wealth and the blessing of God flowing into our lives if we will remember the Lord and put him first and come into alignment with the purpose and the passion that God created us for. Because then the universe just begins to move and God begins to connect you with the right people at the right time. God is so good. He is amazing. When we were in the theater downtown, we needed some theater seats. And if you've ever priced theater seats, they're really, really expensive. And so we were praying, God, we need theater seats. In the meantime, we're sitting on a slope in folding chairs. Well, you have a bunch of people and a bunch of kids squirming around, and before you know it, the chairs are sliding down the slope and they're everywhere. So one night we were in prayer, just our family, at the theater, and there was a knock on the front door, and it was a big guy, and I wasn't so sure I should open it because it wasn't the safest part of town. And But I did. I opened it and I said, can I help you? And he said, yeah. He's your husband here. I'd like to talk to him. And I said, sure. And Leonard just come up around, and the conversation was this. He owned a theater in Napanee that he was going to have new seats put in. And if we wanted the old theater seats, we could have them free. We just had to go pick them up. So you see, we hadn't put that news out there that we needed the seats, but the Holy Spirit put it in that guy's heart because he knew that this theater had been gutted before it was sold, because it was part of the contract that there would never be a theater there again. It was a non-compete contract. So he knew there wasn't seats there. God put that in his heart, and he came knocking on our door and said we could have these seats free. Pardon? And the right amount. Exactly. That we needed. Now see, only God can do that stuff. So then the guys went and picked up the seats, brought them back. They were this horrible orange. And I like orange. But they were dirty orange. You know, kids spilling pop, you know, smeared candy in them. And oh, they were a mess. And so it's like, Lord, You connected us with these seeds. So we began to pray. Our daughter Teresa worked for a company, and she was sharing with her boss that we'd gotten these theater seats, but we really needed to recover them. And he said, well, we have some material out in the shop. If you want to, you can take home samples of it, and you guys pick it out and decide what you want, and then you can just purchase it from us at the price that we pay. So that's awesome. She brought it home, and we took it to church, and we picked out the blue that we wanted because we like blue. And she went back to work, and he said, I'll just donate the fabric. Well, hallelujah. Everything begins to unfold in front of you. So the story doesn't stop there, because we needed someone to reupholster the furniture. And we could have done that. Pastor Leonard could do that. But there were other things that we were involved in, and we're like, Lord, help us. Well, this man showed up at church one Sunday morning, and he said, I'm going to be passing through here for 3 months. And he said, I'd like to make this my church home for 3 months if you'd have me. And we said, sure, we'd love to have you. And he said, oh, and by the way, I'm a professional upholsterer. And I would be glad to upholster your seats while I'm staying here in town for 3 months. Come on. 3 months. The guy's an Elkhart, and God brings him to River of Life to reupholster our chairs. Wow, God. Thank you, Lord. When Teresa's boss found out that we had an upholsterer, he said, well, bring that fabric back in and bring the patterns in, and we'll cut all the patterns for you. Free. He said, we're a little low work, so it'll keep my girls busy. So they cut all the fabric free. And then we had a painter in our church. His name was Henry. And he took all of the frames up to where he paints, sandblasted all of them, painted all of them, and brought them back. And we, you know, had a Holy Ghost party when the guys put the theater seats in. And they're still there today. So isn't it amazing what God will do for us when we come into alignment with his purpose and his passion? He will do that to bless you, to establish his covenant in the earth. Because we are to tell generations of the mighty works that God has done for us. He took what looked like an impossible situation for a small congregation to be able to afford to have theater seats, to have theater seats that are restored and looked brand new sitting in our theater. Isn't that something? Only God. And we have stories of like that over and over again, how God connected us. And even before we planted the church, God connected us with people that He planned on using strategically in our lives to establish this ministry as we came into alignment with what He wanted us to do. Most of the professional people that helped us, we met years before in the Y, we were in the Y Run Club. We ran every weekend with a group of professional people that we really enjoyed their company, built relationship with them, had meals with them. And as God continued to direct us to establish a church, we already had all the connections in our community to get zoning and to get legal advice. Everything was set. Because when you fulfill God's purpose for your life, He does that. There have been businesses birthed out of here that God just caused great increase to come to these businesses because of the right connections and the right people. You see, God does that. He does that. And it's interesting because I ran my own business. I ran a pet salon for years and a dog grooming school. And Vanessa and I serviced so many customers and took care of so many people's dogs. And those same people are the people that blessed us when we started our work. Amazing. How God connects you for purpose. Don't ever think you're too good for someone else. And don't ever let yourself think you're not good enough to connect with somebody. Because God has made us to connect with people. And there is always someone that is further ahead of us. There is always someone that is better than us. Don't be jealous. Jealousy will stop your blessing. Jealousy is a bitter root. Criticism is a bitter root. I get excited when somebody is successful, because if you're successful, you just pull me on up with you. I rejoice in your success. I'm excited. Steve, I think, lost an account and then got an account. A better account. Two of them, actually. God is so good. He is so good. We just have to put Him first and trust Him. Remember God. I'm going to ask if the praise team will come on up. We're going to continue next week on financial blessings, helping people get out of their financial mess, and helping those that are out of it stay out of it. We all need encouragements to stay out of financial messes. Can anyone say amen? It's really tempting. Credit is so easy. It is so easy. Years ago, we wouldn't be able to finance a vacation, but now they'll let you finance your vacation. They'll give you money for anything. Not a good thing. If you have to finance your recreation, then you shouldn't have it. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. The bank will say yes. They'll give you way more money than what you need because they love the interest you pay them. They love it, don't they? Hey, just give me the interest. They will make money off of you when that money could be going back to your family, back to your business. saving for that recreational vehicle that you're wanting. There's nothing wrong with having it. It's just financing it. You pay so much more for it. Leasing it, you pay so much more for it. Let's be wise with our money. And if you need help, there are people here that would love to help you. And there is no condemnation. No condemnation. Because God wants us to be good stewards with what He's given us. So that it can multiply and bless us, and we are able to bless other people around us. We're able to sow into other people's businesses and other people's works and other people's mission trips and other people's projects and sow into the nations. This is how it works. Being wise with what God has given us, because He's given us more than enough. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, I thank You for sealing these words that You taught today, Lord, and anything that is not of You. God, we just thank You that You remove it from the hearts and the minds. But Lord, we want to know Your pattern for finances, Your pattern to create wealth, Lord, to establish Your covenant here in the earth. God, thank You for the River of Life family. Thank You, God, for every one of them, Lord, and stir up and activate the creativity that is on the inside of them. And the Lord, you know, the Lord always encourages me, I'm not too old. And so get that out of your mind, I'm too old. And get that out of your mind that you're too young. Because God's word is God's word, regardless of what age you are. And so, Lord, activate and stir up the creativity that's on the inside of us. We ask God for visions, for dreams, God, to be released as Your people rest and as they come into Your presence, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You're activating Your spirit on the inside of them and showing them, Lord, what they are to do. And Lord, give us the courage, the strength to take it one day at a time, one step at a time, and not to run ahead of You, but Lord, that allow You to go ahead of us and prepare our way, because You're the way, You're the truth, and You're the life. And God, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.